everyone. Welcome to the Challenge wrap-up podcast of the Challenge 34 War of the Worlds 2 Bloody Hell That Wasn't reunion show. My name is Allie Lasher, and I am very excited today because I not only is the season over, but I am joined by a dear, dear friend of the podcast, title to be determined during this podcast, currently our digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth. Megan, how are you?
Hey, Allie, I am doing great. Really excited to be here, even though I wasn't that excited about this season.
Yeah, I want to definitely check in with you about your whole take. You are on the front lines of the podcast, like going through the trash, basically on Twitter, sorting through all of the reactions to this season for us. But I don't know if you caught last week that like Brian suggested that we give you a promotion.
I did catch that. And I wasn't really sure what promotion that should be, considering I'm the only digital communications manager. Can I go higher than a position that only has one position?
Yeah, I mean, you could call yourself the president of the podcast. It was a tricky conversation with Brian. So it's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But if during the life of this podcast you decide you want a new title, we're happy to give it out.
Okay. I have a couple thoughts possibly, but I'll save those for the end.
Oh, are you sure? Because that's probably more interesting than anything we're going to get into, honestly, on this week's podcast.
Well, I was thinking it might be, okay, I'll go ahead and say now. I was thinking it might be just easy to use C's straight across. So Chief Communications Correspondent.
Oh, that's a lot for me to remember, but it's good. It sounds good.
Or just the C3.
The C3. I like that. Three cubed.
Exactly.
The C3 sounds good. Okay, wait, I'm writing this down because I'm visual. Chief Communications Correspondent. I like that because I picture you like a weather person, like being blown away with a microphone, like struggling like through like all the tweets. Like I'm here on the scene live. So that's cool. Okay, Chief Community. So is that your number one, or you just want to like toss out a few?
That was one I thought of immediately. And I mean, there's also, I mean, right now I'm the digital communications manager. There's also, you know, what were some of the ones Brian suggested? He had suggested a couple.
As though I could possibly remember that. Brian did a podcast with Jofo like 2 days before we recorded, and he couldn't remember what he said.
That's true.
Brian Cohen is now currently like thousands of miles away, so we're safe here.
That's true. He's off enjoying his honeymoon and wedded bliss.
Okay, so I like that. I like that because it sort of brings you up with our chief party officer.
Right, there's
feels
two
like
chiefs.
You should be a part of the C-suite as well.
Or, so, okay. Or I could just call myself employee of Allie and Brian, like someone referenced on the podcast that we were your employees.
What a nightmare. Yeah, that was Matt Liguori. Just wreaking havoc on my life all the time. So no, that's good. Let's do that. That's maybe what Matt needs from Dom and Colin, a title, like Chief Challenge Correspondent. And then he will feel less like Colin's his boss. I don't know. That's something he has to work out. Okay. So we'll workshop that. I will try to remember to call you that later in the show. I have it written down. Hopefully I'll get there. But let's talk about the show. You've been watching all season. You've been out there in the field. What's your take on the season? You've told us a little bit, but where let's take your temperature on the season overall.
So I had a good feeling at the start of the season because I thought the last War of the Worlds was pretty good. I really thought the Brits brought a lot of new characters and a lot of just, I'm a big fan of Love Island UK and British reality shows. And so I thought it was really good for those characters to kind of come to the US screen. And I really enjoyed them in that season. This season, as much as I was itching for a team challenge again, it just did not work because the US team was so stacked. And it just wasn't fun to watch the US team win over and over and over again. It wasn't even, it's like it wasn't even a fair fight. And then there was the whole, you know, the season did have its moments, but then there was the whole, you know, drama, the Polly and Kara cult slash family slash, you know, whatever Kara wants to call it. It was just a little bit, no one wants to watch one alliance dominate the whole season.
Totally, totally. And I think Joss maybe said that on the reunion of like, you had no fat to trim, where sort of like the Brits might have been disadvantaged. Like, we need all of the new players, right, are sort of coming on the UK side, and they need a balance of like incoming characters, of people who are maybe less like physically imposing and there to party. Like, you always need sort of like diversity of talents. And so like the UK side kind of had to shepherd those people around. But it sucked. Like, it's okay. We could just say it. It sucked.
Yeah. Are they not pulling people from Are You the One anymore? Is that like not a thing? Because if they wanted to add some new people who aren't exactly, who would just be there to party and not exactly athletes, they could pull people from Are You the One.
It's strange, because what I'm not quite sure on, and we can actually, I want to add this to the list of things to talk about, is where Are You the One and X on the Beach sort of fit in, because it seems like they've parked some Are You the One people in the X on the Beach like holding cell, but now they're bringing in like Jay from X on the Beach, and like Morgan was on X on the Beach and then came on the challenge. So I'm not really sure if like they're vetting people through X on the Beach and Are You the, or they just haven't felt like the talent's there on Are You the One. I don't get why. I feel like we've had a lot of people come through Are You the One, like including Tori Deal, Amanda, like who have become instant staples, Cam, and a lot of people who I think would be really great on the challenge have just sort of like gone to die after Are You the One and have never been looked at again. Devin, Are You the One? So I'm not really sure, because I don't feel like Nelson was from Are You the One. Like, whether or not you like these people, they've been considered, I think, hits by the powers that be on the challenge, because they keep bringing them back.
I agree. I was really surprised. What was the girl from Are You the One? Was it Alexis, the country girl?
Was she's newly engaged.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
That's social media, just like in my own time.
Okay.
Not for the non-challenge social media. Yeah, Alexis has been through a lot. I think she's sober now, so maybe she wouldn't come. I can't speak to whether or not she would come on the show, but yeah, she's definitely, and now like Hunter and Brittany, they're from Are You the One? Like, now you're bringing all these, I'm remembering all these people. Yeah, I think Alexis would have been great. I always was like, why wasn't Kiki on, who is an ex of Devin's?
That would have been such drama. It would have been so messy. I love it.
She was approached for X on the Beach, but couldn't get off of work or something, like when Devin was on with Marie. So maybe that could have been
good. Like, at least she has something going on in her life.
That's good. You're right. Good point. I'm like, that affected me. I didn't get to see her. But true. Good for her, I guess. And then a lot of people were sort of like, with this gender fluid season, there are so many great people who could be on the challenge.
Oh, yeah. That was Bissette, a great season.
Kai, Jenna.
For sure. Yeah, I would love to see Bissette on a challenge. That would be great. And if they're pulling people from X on the Beach, if this means I get to see Adore Delano on a challenge, sign me up.
The crossover we didn't know we needed.
I know.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, yeah, I was just going to say we should do maybe a little X on the Beach check-in at the end, since we both are watching.
I put that next to your new title, so hopefully I'll remember both of those things. If I don't, and you do, we'll tag team it.
Okay, sounds good.
So let's get to the reunion. It will be news to no one that I forgot like everyone who was on the season, and these are like people they determined were like most worthy of being there. Did anyone who was there, and we can compare, I pulled up like who everyone who was on the cast, we could talk about it. Was anyone missing in your mind? And let's include Turbo and Wes, because we eventually talked to them. Like, did they leave anyone out? Any snubs?
Was Zach there?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, I thought I lost you. Go ahead. We're here. Okay. We're back.
We're back. We're back, people. Was Zach there? I didn't see Zach.
That was my biggest, like, without looking at this list, like, where is Zach? Especially because Zach came up, like, somebody threw him under the bus with Polly.
He made it to the final. Like, he was in the final.
So I feel like maybe he I can't imagine why they wouldn't have him. Like, I'm looking at the list right now. Like, okay, I have the men. You had CT there. For anyone who skipped it, honestly, wise choice. We'll probably cover all the highlights. Or we'll definitely cover all the highlights.
I mean, that's what this podcast is for.
We don't always get there, though. So CT, Jordan, Rogan, Paulie were there. No Zach. Leroy was there. Josh was there. Joss was there. Theo was there, which I was happy to see, and we'll talk about. Turbo did a little video. We'll talk about that.
Yes.
Kyle was there and totally useless and trying to get airtime and couldn't.
Yeah, he didn't even say anything. I was like, forgot he was there for the first half of the reunion show.
He was like intervening when D was being questioned about Rogan. And it was like, bruh, this isn't your time.
Right.
Bear was there. Bananas was there. Wes was a grizzly version of Wes Skyped in, and then Sean, who was the first person out, was not there. That and Idris wasn't there. So yeah. I feel like
Esther
probably
wasn't there either, I don't think.
Yeah, hitting the women. We had Nicole. I don't really know what Nicole was doing there.
Yeah, maybe just because she's kind of tagged along with Georgia. That was my only thought. They're like besties.
Yeah, it was nice. She like laid a sick burn on Bear, which was fun.
Oh, she did, yes.
Big T was not there. Faith was not there.
No.
Which I would have been interested to see Faith there. I would have rather Faith over Nicole.
Yeah, that would have been interesting because we could have gotten some more details on like what exactly happened with that whole situation.
Yeah. And look, we don't know if they were invited and declined or not invited, but so Zahida wasn't there, Big T wasn't there. Laurel was there, I think an early exit, but justifiably there.
Yeah, and also with her being on X on the Beach, they could.
Oh, can't wait to talk about that.
I know.
Esther was not, as you said, which I get it, but like I liked Esther at the end.
I liked Esther too, and she was one of the She was one of the Brits who lasted like kind of into the game. She was one of the new Brits that lasted into the game at least a decent amount.
Yeah, cheating by looking at this list. Idris made it an extra week. But otherwise, she was the, and Jenny made it a little bit further than her. But otherwise, like, yeah, she really went pretty far for the rookies. Georgia was there. Jenny was there. Kaylee was there. Nani was there. Tori. I think everybody else on this list, all the other ladies were there. So no big snubs. Zach, kind of a curious.
I have to imagine he was offered a spot and he declined or couldn't make it or something because. I mean, he was in the final and he had a lot to do with this season as far as being like the anti-Pauly Cara.
It was strange. It was definitely like for me to remember somebody wasn't on the season is a shock. Or someone was on the season and is missing is a stunning moment. I want to pause for a second and go a little bit off topic. We have to talk about the fashion of the day, but we also have to talk about the set. Did it feel very Survivor to you?
It did with them like kind of on, you know, these like little couches tiered and everything. And it was very big, too. I felt like it was large, like a very large stage.
And there was like a forest. Like when they first were there, it was like tons of trees, like a plant. It just was like all this vegetation. I was like, I don't really feel like the challenge is like a lush background, like that this is like a rich with foliage that should be on stage, but you know, they took a shot. They looked like they put some money behind it, so that's good.
I mean, yeah, that's good at least.
So let's talk about the fashion. Where do you want to go first with what people were wearing?
Do you have the order they were introduced came in? We can just go by that if you want.
Absolutely not. I started okay. I wrote down the people who stuck out to me. So we could do that. We could just move through there. And if I miss anyone that you wanted to talk about, let me know.
Okay.
The big outfit of the night really was the host, Justina Valentine's, correct?
Yes. Yes, it was.
How would you describe what she was wearing?
I would describe it as Lara Croft Tomb Raider, but with a lot of hair. Like a lot of hair. The hair was what stuck out to me more than anything, I think.
Yeah, it to me, I wrote the same thing down. It's like sexy Lara Croft slash Kim Possible.
Yep.
Which like sort of, she like kind of pulls it. She dresses like very outrageously. For anyone who doesn't know her, she was on Joe's Versus Bros and she's hosted before. She's done red carpet stuff with the challenge, and she has like a fire engine red hair, like dyed bright red hair. And dresses like pretty provocatively and like fun and whatever. So I think she pulled off the outfit, especially because they made the stage like proving ground, like foliage, like I'm in the whatever.
Right.
The hair was sort of like a 6 foot long Raggedy Ann braid, like color, like material, like yarn almost, like ponytail braid.
Yeah, like clearly not meant to look like real hair.
Correct. Yeah. And it was woven into her hair that I guess that was like obviously like more purple than the thing.
Like her hair wasn't her real hair.
Yeah. And so at the end, it was like woven and then it just like her hair stopped and it was just like tacked on to the end. It just but you know, like
it would be so heavy.
Yes. Yes.
I just Good would point. Not. I would have like a neck problem the next day.
She might have. Maybe yeah. That's why they had the useless Nick Young, aka Swaggy P, next to her in case she like went out with a bad neck.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about Nick Young at some point in this podcast, but yes, he was there for support.
Let's make that time now, because I probably should have opened with the host rather than the fashion. But before we get to the contestants, let's talk about Nick Young.
Sure. Were you familiar with Nick Young prior to this? I was not.
Absolutely not. The only thing I did have is Robbie, who is we went to Know It Alls together. He's a friend of mine. I don't know, Robbie, you tell me. But we were watching the Survivor finale together, and then I went home and he texted me like the GIF. I don't know if you're familiar with the GIF, but there's a GIF of him that I had seen before, but I didn't know who that was. And he said, here's what he said. He sent the gift and it's him making a like what face and then like all the question marks are. So when Jordan, do you know what I'm talking about? Like when Jordan made that face and then he made that face okay. And everybody went wild. It's because of this GIF.
I didn't get that.
And so Robbie said it would be best if you familiarize yourself with this GIF before you watch a challenge reunion. He's the co-host of the season for some inexplicable reason. He's in the NBA, so it's not insane, just random, but the GIF comes into play in a great way.
Like he's currently in the NBA?
Yes, I think so.
Oh.
I think he's on the Lakers, or at least his Wikipedia is a picture of the Lakers. I will look.
Okay. Elite. I mean, it's surprising he like made time to do this, because this would have been filmed like, what? Is it basketball season yet? I don't know. I don't do sports, really.
I don't think it is, but I don't, who cares? We don't, this is not a sports podcast.
It's not.
He currently plays for, because I'm wrong, so I just want to say it. He currently plays for the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
But yeah, he, to me though, like we've had professional athletes like host, whatever, we have The Miz. I know that there's more of a connection there, but a lot of times MTV gives us sort of someone random. But he said nothing. And even when Jordan was clearly a big fan of his. And when Jordan like kicked things to him, he just rejected them. Like he just didn't.
Yeah.
He had nothing. What was on the cards? Just like, don't fall asleep. I don't understand.
Yeah. And he was very like soft, not soft spoken, but he was kind of just like, hey, what made you decide to do that, bro? Like very just sort of nonchalant. Like he was just chatting. Which I guess can be an interview style, but it just didn't work for like the really hyped up situation that everyone was in.
No, and I can't tell if he's like a fan of the show or not, because you'd imagine that, sure, he's going to get a paycheck and a trip to London, but like, I don't know, if you asked me to host a reunion show of a show I'd never heard of right now, I would maybe not do it. But it's sort of like Terrence J, who I love, it sort of seemed like he had never seen the show before.
Right. And can we talk about his nickname, Swaggy P?
Let's talk about that.
What does the P stand for is what I want to know.
Also, it's so bizarre because Swaggy C is going to be on next season. So it's like, which came first, the C or the Swaggy P, like the chicken or the egg?
I know. It's crazy. I mean, I'm sure that nickname has an origin somewhere that I'm sure a sports person will tell us on Twitter or in the comments. But yeah, I was quite confused why they kept calling him Swaggy P.
It has all of the makings of a self-given nickname, if I'm just gonna get take a stab. Oh, he dated Iggy Azalea. This is interesting. Oh. They were engaged and they broke off the engagement.
Interesting.
His nickname is Swaggy P, which he said is a pseudo biblical reference to the prophet of swag.
Okay. Can't remember about reading about that in Sunday school, but you know, go on.
Call me Swaggy P. I'm the prophet of swag. Call me Complaining P, because I'm the prophet of complaining. All right. Well, I'll workshop that. Maybe that's what we call you. Maybe we call you Swaggy C. Wait, I'm sorry. Like, I was going to say Commie P, but that sounds like you're a communist. Like, Twitty P. What about Twitty P? And it's, you're the prophet of Twitter.
I kind of like that too, Twitty P. It doesn't sound as like business-like and official, but I mean, what is this podcast if it's not business and official?
I'm writing that down. It's under consideration, Twitty P. Oh, but you could be the C3 Twitty P, because Twitty P would be a nickname instead of Megan Elizabeth, but it wouldn't be your title.
That's true, and it rhymes, rolls off the tongue nice.
Chief Communication Correspondent Twitty P. That's good. That is
good. I like that.
All right. Hopefully I remember that. You never know. Okay. Van Coro said, or Carew said, does Nick Young have the least personality of anyone to ever be on television? However, I did really like Justina and thought she did a good job. So again, before, this is now the biggest like drum roll to talking about the fashion. Let's talk about, now we've talked about Nick and Justina. Did you like Justina?
I thought they were both, Nick and Justina, I thought they were fine. Like, it wasn't really anything that they did that was completely crazy or off the book. I thought Justina, you know, asked the right questions and kind of let them just go at it. I wish she would have intervened sooner in some of the Pauly Josh mess, because I didn't really want to hear them talking over each other for that long. But other than that, I mean, I thought it was fine.
I liked her a lot. I think she's hosted some of the after shows. Like, she's good at sort of, just because she's so loud and like, you know, like she just has no problem being like, so what's the deal? Like, Cara and Laura, like, are you friends? Like, she just asks these questions. Like, she's professional without being like, I'm reading from the card. Like, she's willing to just be like, give it up. Like, let's chat. Like, are you going to fix this or what? Like, I like that. She's the perfect person to sort of ask those questions in a way that I feel like The Miz would not be able to ask those questions. And I like The Miz, but I like her for this role.
Yeah, I mean, I think she asked some good questions. I also like how she brought up stuff that happened after the show on Twitter and Instagram and Instagram comments. Like,
well, you would like that.
I would.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I just, Instagram comments, like, you have to do some deep diving to find an Instagram comment. Like, I don't look at Instagram comments to see what the cast is commenting on each other's photos.
Well, good to know that you don't do that. I mean, I thought you were working hard. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love you guys and I love this podcast, but that might be a step too far.
If you were started to send us Instagram comments, I think we'd have to check in and be like, are you doing okay?
Right.
All right, so now let's talk about it. I know that Cara and Pauly walk in first, and they're two of sort of like the headliners to talk about in the wardrobe department. Any thoughts?
So I thought Cara's dress was great. I loved Cara's dress. I thought it was.
Did you not like another? Because it sounds like you're about to be like, and I didn't like.
No. I actually didn't think anyone looked a complete mess, which is rare for the challenge. But I didn't think that anyone looked a complete mess. But I thought Cara's dress was really good. I thought it looked good in her. I thought it looked good with her hair. I really liked all the sparkles. So that was good. Pauly's jacket was like, it was purple, and then it had like, was it floral too? It had like floral imprints on it.
Yeah, I see. I think Cara looked like smoking hot. Love the dress. Totally agree with everything you said. Pauly looked like an absolute clown. Kyle, digital. Nope, that's you. Chief Party Officer Kyle Picard wrote to us that Polly had a Professor Plum getup, which killed me.
I mean, yeah, that's accurate.
I agree. It was sort of like a little disappointing. Justina was definitely, and that's her name, right? I'm not messing that up.
No,
I
feel like it's Justina. I'm not. Yeah.
Okay. So she, I think, had the most memorable outfit. The other person I have to say, for Cam, I think looked amazing.
Cam's makeup was amazing. I did write that down.
I loved her lipstick. Laurel doesn't give two Fs, and I think that's hilarious, and I'm into it. Ashley, to me, I feel like is the WTF moment. Our chief fashion correspondent, Molly Block, said, obviously, got a wash off Survivor at the challenge. She texted me this, I think at 3 a.m. So it was midnight her time in California. got a wash off Survivor at the challenge. And just got to say, Ashley's outfit wins WTF award. But also, so does Justina or whatever the host name is. She looks whack. So those are her official takes. I agree. I think Ashley coming in a Dancing with the Stars costume that was like sheer to her hips with just like a sequin V.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was going to ask. I have written down, is Ashley's dress sheer? Question mark, question mark, question mark. And it's like the sparkles were only covered. Like the JJ and like areas, it looked like it was like sheer over her hips, and then there was just like that one line of sparkle that covered like the privates.
Yeah, and that's it. It was very sort of like a dance costume, you know, like where it's sort of like sequin, and it was long sleeve and floor length and black, and it like wasn't sexy. Like, as much as it was completely sheer, it still sort of looked, I mean, she's beautiful and whatever, like, but it, to me, the garment was somehow, like, to quote from Project Runway, matronly, despite being totally sheer.
Like, she would have looked so bomb in, like, a cocktail dress, like, cut the length off that dress, make it, like, a three-quarter length sleeve instead of the long sleeves, and I think that would have been a good look for her.
But we need Ashley. We're grateful she wore that craziness because otherwise we'd have nothing to talk about right now.
That's true.
Theo sporting an eye patch. Yes. Oh, sorry. Did you have someone else? I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, we can talk about Theo. And then I just have a couple more highlights.
Hit the highlights because we'll transition off of Theo.
Okay. Tori was giving me like high school prom 2005 in that like silk long dress.
I see that.
Which, and she rocked it. Like, she was great. And then the only other question I have is Jordan wearing a three-piece suit where one of the pieces is overalls?
What? I did. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Right, let me bang this into the machine.
I am almost positive when he stood up, there was like, you know, like the front of the overalls that like flap down when you unhook them. I feel like I saw that overall like front, like around his waist area. That's why I thought it was overalls.
Please hold. Need to see this. Because he's got like a fashion line, so it wouldn't be surprising if he's wearing some like weird menswear. Okay. You can go to see, I see a vest that transitions to a belted pant.
Okay, maybe it was just like the way the pants were situated, but it really looked like overalls.
I think that is a fabulous idea. I see Dax Shepard as the face of it. Like, suit overalls. I think you have something here. But yes, also Tori is like fully at like going to a Jersey prom, but she looks at me like she's the girl I'd be like jealous of for sure.
Yeah, and the only other fashion note I had was I really liked Georgia's like natural makeup. Georgia sometimes goes really like heavy on the makeup. And like, of course, she looks gorgeous in whatever she does. But I really like the lighter natural makeup on Georgia.
Yeah, I think she looked good. And she was wearing like last time, I feel like she gave us very like Sailor Moon, Britney Spears, Baby One More Time.
Yes, I remember that.
So, yeah, nothing stood out, but probably in a good way. Like, she just looked good.
Right.
Which exactly. We need that too. Let's talk about Theo though, because he definitely stood out. First of all, he wore a USA sweatshirt, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, that's really funny. Very ironic.
And then he wore an eye patch, which is his new look.
Right. I wonder if that's like one of those things that's like medically necessary, like he has to wear it for now, or if it's just, you know, I don't know anything about eye injuries like that, but I mean, it wasn't a bad look.
I think it's no, Thea still looks good, but I also think it's necessary because I think what's under there is not pretty.
No, yeah,
from the description of the injury.
Yeah. He was also, Theo is so tall. When he was sitting down, his legs were like down to the first step of the stage when he was stretching.
I didn't notice that. That's amazing. I just think with Theo, I'm happy to see him on the reunion because I feel like it bodes well for like him potentially being back. And like he said, like, I'm going to bounce back. He has such a good attitude. Like, he looks great. I just, like, I was happy to see him. Like, he seemed like he was in good spirits over social media. And, like, here he is, like, saying, like, I'm going to take some time, figure this out, and, you know, I'll bounce back.
Right. Oh, I did just remember, I did have one more fashion note.
Oh, please. Yeah, let's do it.
So, the hat that CT was wearing. So, my grandpa, who was born in 1923, used to wear that kind of hat every day he would go out of the house, and that's what it reminded me of. But it's very like back in now because it's like the Peaky Blinders like hat that like they all wear that hat on the show, so I think it's like making a resurgence. But all I can think of is my grandpa wearing that hat.
I'm glad that you brought that up because it's sort of, when I saw CT, I'm like, you say you had to play the Pops role and then you show up dressed like Pops. Like, maybe you contributed to that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
All right, so they go to Polly, understandably so, and at least he sort of, you know, he's given the excuse in the past that it was the girls on his team. He now says, like, look, I'm going to learn from it and bounce back. And then he says, I couldn't have trained for that. I trained really hard at running, and then they hit me with carrying. Now, I'm no stranger. I am a stranger to the weightlifting area of the gym, but isn't that carrying? Like, isn't that a big thing? And have you never seen an episode of the challenge?
Right. And also, like, I mean, Polly's biggest issue, I think, probably was that he was dehydrated. Like, he can hydrate. Like, that's not, like, you can definitely fix that. You can make sure you're drinking enough water.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. I think then I watched an interview he did with ET Canada, which we could talk about later. It was not interesting, but he talked about like getting heat stroke. So, you know, I it could have been worse. I think he could have had a worse reaction. Who knows what was edited out, but
right.
You know, and then Kara like falling on the sword, like, I'm the reason we lost, not him. Like, would Kara ever say she was the reason anyone lost anything unless it was to protect Polly?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I don't know if she thinks it makes her seem more likable if she does that, but it really doesn't.
Speaking of unlikable, Polly also like called out Bananas. I guess Polly had started a rumor that Bananas and Jenny hooked up in a bathroom. And the source of that information was that they went into a bathroom, were there about 10 or 15 minutes, and then like cuddled the rest of the time they were for another week. Honestly, not exactly. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, honestly, my first reaction was WTF. Isn't he with Morgan? I think Jenny's in a relationship. But then when Jenny denied it, I was like, I mean, I kind of do want to believe Jenny that nothing happened.
See, my reaction was sort of like, you're a lawyer. Like, not, that's not me talking to myself. That's me talking to you. Like,
right.
Is this enough evidence that like to me, being in a communal bathroom was at the same time as someone for 15 minutes does not a hookup make.
No, it's circumstantial at best.
But I think the headline to come out of this, besides that Polly's like desperate for somebody else to be a cheater, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
The headline is like, Banana says, quote, I'm in a relationship. I think that's like the first true straight confirmation. And yeah, I think you're right that he's talking about Morgan from Big Brother OTT and X on the Beach and The Challenge.
Yes. They have posted, I follow Morgan on Instagram, and they have posted many a vacation photo together. It seems like they're always kind of out and about doing stuff, except for when, you know, he's filming something or she's doing I'm not actually sure what Borgen does, but I'm no, that sounded like shade, but it was not meant to be shade.
It was amazing.
Borgen. No, I love Borgen.
Well, my question with her is like, why isn't she on the challenge? Does she like, does Camp Bananas get her on, or does she decline? And like, they would have wanted her on with Jay, no? Like, maybe she didn't want to do it.
I absolutely think they would have wanted her on with Jay. I had the same question when they brought, I think when they brought Kaylee on the first time. So Kaylee and Joss, or someone, basically someone was exes and they weren't. No, it was Ashley. Do you remember British Ashley?
Yes.
So on X on the Beach UK, on one of the seasons, Melissa from the UK and Kaylee, their big falling out in their friendship was over Ashley. And so I was surprised they didn't have all three of them on the same season.
I would love to interview a casting person or like whoever makes these decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, I would have just, that would have just been drama.
Speaking of drama, can you just say drama at the end of every single thing you say so that I can segue to speaking of drama?
Yes, absolutely.
We get a very confusing, and this is maybe, I really like Justina, but maybe it's, I don't know whose fault it is that I felt like we didn't get a lot of understanding of a lot of these moments. It just escalated to people screaming, and part of that should really be the cast's fault. Like, yes, you're on reality TV, but to an certain extent, you're a professional television person, and you can't just scream at each other. We can't get the sound bites, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, especially Pauly and Josh should know that from being filmed on Big Brother 24 hours a day for over 3 months. Like, they really should know, like, this is what is going to air. This is what's going to be caught on camera. Like, we need these. They have enough experience now that they know that.
Josh and Pauly pop off, and it's sort of starting at the beginning. I skipped a little because, like, better to just talk in one segment, hopefully. Right. But Josh says, did Josh say there was someone, one of them said to the other one, you look like a host from the Hunger Games.
That, it had to have been someone talking about Pauly because of the purple blazer.
That's what I thought. It was definitely between Josh and Pauly, but when I was watching it, I remember thinking it was Pauly to Josh, but maybe it was Josh to Pauly because that's actually completely accurate.
I assumed it was to Pauly.
All right, so Josh gets one of the best lines off, I think, of the whole reunion, probably the best in my mind, because Josh is about to just start talking, and he says, I'm not here to knock anyone. Pauly interrupts to say, you're going to cry and cry. And Josh unleashes, I slowed it down and like wrote it all down. He says, who's going to choke in a final 3 times in a row? Who's going to lose Big Brother? Love that comes back and not get a bag of money. Who's riding their girlfriend's coattails? Who's going to date a girl for a fan base? I'm crying to the bank. You can't relate, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, Josh came prepared. He really did. He was really doing the most this reunion. And I mean, we all know like Josh from Big Brother, and he was emotional in that season. He's been emotional in the challenge. And I know I'm jumping ahead a little here, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that Josh gets emotional. Even Laurel said that at one point, that she was like, guys, it's okay that he's emotional. And she got really fired up about it. And
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I agree with you completely. And like, that continues on to just sort of like the betrayal of Pauly and Josh. And I think Josh kind of comes to the table, as much as he's screaming, very maturely. And Pauly is just like taking low blows, you know, and Josh reciprocates those low blows. But
right.
It, like, he's genuinely hurt and not afraid to show it. Like, I lost a friend. I felt betrayed. I'm sad. And Pauly's like, I don't care. You have to move on in life. Like, okay, yeah, I'm sad, but like, I have to move on. You know, it's just like not a mature, emotionally mature reaction. No surprise. And I say that I like Josh right now.
Yeah. So I have actually met Josh in person.
Oh,
I met him at one of the, he came to the after party of one of the know-it-alls in New York. It was had probably like a year and a half. It was right after the summer after he won Big Brother. And I went up to him. He was so nice and so welcoming. He gave me a huge hug. He said like familia, which was like his thing on Big Brother. Like, we're all family. And he was amazing. Really nice guy. And I do think that, you know, and he was talking to people, hanging out with all the patrons, you know, everyone who was there. So I kind of have a soft spot for Josh just because I feel like, you know, once you've met someone in person, you're like, oh, like, you know, even though we're not like friends, I feel like I have a little bit of, you know, a personal, I met them in person.
That's the opposite reaction people have to meeting me at Live Know It All's events. But no, I think that's fair. And I think that if anybody like me has not been a fan of Josh and you skip the reunion for whatever reason, watch this reunion. Because I really think that's sort of the highlight, is that Josh comes away, like, I think looking really good, relatable, vulnerable, smart. Like, I was very impressed with Josh and like actually kind of excited that he's sort of becoming in the challenge. They've Laguna Beach slapped me. I think I'm sort of in on Josh right now. And then, So Bridget, I'm getting excited to talk about Georgia. Bridget Veltoro says, please address the hypocrisy that was Paulie calling Josh, quote, emotionally unstable.
Yeah. Yes. Considering the things that we've heard about the reasons why Paulie is not on next season. Yes, that is, it is quite hypocritical.
All right. The other thing that we really have to talk about with the Josh and Paulie thing is that in the middle of sort of the most heated part of it, where we don't really know what's going on, or at least I didn't, even with like subtitles on. Paulie, basically, I think Josh is saying that Paulie's disloyal, and Paulie is identifying the like 8 women in the room that he was loyal to and was like, I'm not disloyal. And then gets up and sort of does a little glide, like a little moonwalk glide action, a couple spins, a little dance. Caleb Daughtry, Doherty, says, how many times do you think Paulie got up and danced at the reunion?
I mean, I don't know, but I just remember when Banana's face, like, I am not a Banana's fan by any means, but his face when Paulie got up to do that dance was, I mean, worthy of a screenshot and a GIF. I mean, it was amazing.
It was an all-time moment. It was sort of like, he's unhinged. What the hell is he doing? Like, none of that made any sense. But yeah. Okay, Paulie. The new okay boomer for the challenge. Just like, okay, Paulie.
Right.
Let's talk about Nani and Kara. And we're just going to sort of jump around to segments as best we can in order. They have this conversation about their relationship, and I don't even know what it's really about. Like, they beef, and yet Nani and Paulie remain friends. And one of the best moments to come out of this for me is Kara is like, Nani only left her room to like binge drink and chain smoke, and Nani just goes, and so good.
Yeah, exactly. And the most ridiculous part of this entire thing was Kara insinuating that Nani was trying to get with Paulie.
Well, it, like, I see. Okay.
Is it ridiculous? Is that?
I think it's ridiculous. But I believe that Paulie, like, this is what I've sort of been trying to get at all season, where I'm like, I know Kara looks insane and it seems to be acting crazy, but, and Paulie looks rational and like he can, you know, take it as just the game and take things on the chin. But I just feel like that's not the case. And I don't know why I feel that way. And this was a prime example of like, Paulie is talking to Nani and says, oh, I never told Kara that. And Kara doesn't even like check him or get mad. She just like snaps into line. And it's like, well, that's what he told me. Like, whatever. She just like accepts that.
Right.
That's the case. And Banana says it like, oh, you're telling two different women, two different stories. Like, I fully believe that Paulie is capable of saying, having this relationship with Nani and then telling Kara, like, oh, Nani's like wants me, not like to keep her insecure and to keep her isolated and to keep her not friends with these people. You know, like it just seems like a pattern to me and it's very concerning. And I don't know why they didn't go deeper into that moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. I 100%. And what's that saying? Like behind a perceived crazy woman is a man who made her that way or something like that.
Retweet.
Yeah. So,
So I'm just more worried. I just like, I'm like, that just seems so good. Like Kara didn't even get, is there a situation where your partner told you something and then you confront that person, right?
Right.
And then he or she or whoever, like to the world, says that never happened in front of you. And you don't immediately turn to them and say, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. She was just like, well, that's what he told me.
Yep. I would. Absolutely. And I mean, we see that later with Tori checking Jordan.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's that to me is a demonstration of a healthy relationship.
Right. We stan a strong woman who checks her man.
And a man who receives that. I like Jordan also, I thought, received it pretty well. First, yes. The woman, but also like I don't know what Polly would have done if Kara had said something to him.
Right.
What a web of lies. Okay. Let's crawl out of this web of lies. Shed Kara and Jordan for a moment. Edward Morris wants to know, how great was Wes?
Yeah. So Wes, the beard.
Wes, the beard, the ginger beard.
I mean, Wes, when he has his hair shaved like really close, you can't really tell he's a ginger, but that beard, I mean, wow.
It's red. It's red. It's like Valentina's ragdoll hair.
You mean Justina Valentine?
Oh, yeah. I always want to call her Valentina. But yeah, Wes, I think in the ultimate Wes way, like Wes always likes to talk about how he has like a business and a job and whatever. And the fact that Wes like Skyped in from what presumably was like his office is to me the most hilarious, like humble brag.
Yeah, absolutely. I was wondering where he was and I'm like, that's got to be like his office or his building or something like that.
I liked this from Wes. I think first Wes and Bananas had a really fun exchange, and Bananas made a really good point earlier in the reunion where he would like Justina Valentina Valentine was like, you know, the U.S. team couldn't get it together. You couldn't stop fighting. And Bananas, I think, put a really fine point on it with just, you know, what makes us good is experience and baggage like comes with that experience. And that was a really clean way to explain it. And I like that Bananas and Wes, while show rivals, like, and as much as they quote unquote hate each other and don't ever work together, like when they're off screen, it's like fun. Bananas really seemed to be laughing at the jokes at Wes was making. They were clean jokes, you know, your mom jokes, which was great. And that's sort of what I like. I don't love the like true hatred that Polly and Kara have with other people.
Yeah, I agree. It's clear that Bananas and Wes kind of have this jokingly hateful relationship with each other. And I think that's how it should be. And I mean, I even appreciated Wes, you know, talking to Josh and Josh, you know, accepting that, Wes rising above everything. I thought that was really great. And Josh got emotional over that because, I mean, it was a nice moment.
Yeah. Were you aware? And maybe I was and just like blacked out like Polly in the final challenge. Like Wes was saying basically that like Laurel and Josh were getting like a lot of really bad like ugliness on Twitter in response to the move against Wes. Like, did you know that was going on?
I did not. And as the, you know, C3 Twitty P, no, I didn't know that was going on. I typically, when I look at the tweets, I look at the like competitors, what they're tweeting. I tend not to pay so much attention to what people are tweeting at them unless it's like really crazy. But no, I didn't catch anything like that. But I
didn't mean to make this like a Matt Lagori gotcha test. Like I more just meant like you shouldn't be paying attention to whatever the scrubs like us are saying.
No. But I mean, I definitely think it probably was happening because people on the internet are crazy.
Yeah, so it was nice. It was nice for West to say, look, it's the game. They got me, like they bested me, and it's all Banana's fault. Like it ended on a joke. I thought that was really great from West. I'm happy that he Skyped in at least, and that was sort of like another high point of the reunion for me.
Agree. I thought it was great.
Another high point, let's talk about the engagement. Nani found the ring. Can you believe that Jordan just like had it out?
Yeah, I don't know. Was like Nani like searching through his bag or something, or was it just like out there? I don't understand. I feel like he would definitely go to like major. Why did he just have a production person hold it? Is what I want to know.
I cannot believe that Jordan like packed this in a carry-on and flew to, where did we figure they are? Are they in Thailand?
I think so. I think it's Thailand.
Like, I thought for sure, I didn't think it was planned by production, but you'd think that like they'd hold on to it. I don't think it was wild.
Yeah.
And then Theo also knew before the challenge, like so crazy. I know that Theo was joking, saying he like took a dive to help Jordan out, but like that must feel like emotional. Like, oh my God, this guy's going to propose and I have to beat him in this elimination.
Right. And I mean, seeing the proposal played back was just, it was so sweet. I really thought that was a season highlight was the proposal for sure.
It was, and we've seen a proposal on the challenge before, and I forgot until we're watching the reunion with Tony and Alyssa, but just this was so much better.
I know, and also because, was Alyssa ever on a show?
Well, she was on she was never on the challenge, but she was on the Real World Explosion.
Oh, as one of Tony's exes.
I believe so.
Okay,
who cares? Like, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Meaning to no one should know that. I'm ashamed.
Yeah, but wasn't there like another housemate of Tony's who he also has a kid with?
Yeah, so that's Madison.
Madison, okay.
Yeah, not his fiance. I don't know if I feel like I would know if they got married, but I should know a lot of things I don't. What pisses me off about the engagement, which was such a great moment, is that then Polly is like, what was a happy moment for them? And I didn't like that Cara took away from it. And then says, I'm just happy because from one cheater to another, like you set a good example that it could end in marriage. Like, and yeah. I freaking oop.
Yeah. Polly just, I honestly think to him, he thinks that that's a compliment. I honestly believe he thinks that that is like an appropriate, okay thing to say.
I mean, I think it was, he wanted it to be negative, but I agree with you that like, he often makes these remarks that like, he thinks sound good and make him look like really terrible. You know, like, I feel like you're right. Like that this isn't like a thing where but it has to be like he's too smart to me to like think that this is an appropriate thing to say that wouldn't be awkward or mean. But he also like doesn't intend to make himself look as bad as it does. Like he's like fake owning it and maybe people will laugh. But like you can't just own that like it's casual what you did to Danielle and Cara.
Yeah, I mean, Reality Steve had Cara and Danielle M on a podcast together like talking about how Polly cheated on both of them. I mean, it was all over Us Weekly, People Magazine. I mean, that's not something that should be a high point in Polly's life.
Also, like, not to, because like Tori, it's on the record, Tori did cheat on Derek with Jordan. Not to compare cheating to cheating, but like total apples and oranges situation, at least. Like, you cheated on Cara and lived a double life lying to her. Tori exited completely the wrong way and cheated with her current fiance, not on him. I feel like there is some distinction to be made there. Yes,
there's absolutely a distinction.
And then here's my worry. Cam sort of steps in and defends Cara. Like, she's not defending her the whole time, but she does make a little bit of a comment in defense of Cara. And I'm like, if Cam is like really linking up as like Cara's BFF and is gonna like accept her insanity, it's gonna make Cam so much less likable than she is now.
Right. And I really like Cam and I really want to like her a lot. And Cam Roy, the whole thing, I really just want to keep liking Cam and living in the Cam bubble that I'm living in.
if I'm Cam's friend, PR, cousin, the hairstylist, like whatever, and I'm in her life at all, if I'm her neighbor, I'm like, psst, psst. Don't tie yourself to that absolute anchor. Like, you're going to go down with the ship. Because she's, I love her too, but if she starts getting into that side, like, it's a TV show, you know, like there's only so much the edit can do to still make you likable when you're like aligned with and defending the most unlikable person, deservedly so, on the season.
Right. You know what I would love? I would love if Tori became Cam's new BFF. That's what I would love.
It's never going to happen.
I know.
But I would love it too.
I know.
Also, it's like, going to be weird. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I was just, you know, it's definitely fan fiction, but it'd be nice.
What I'm worried about is like, okay, Kara won't be on next season, which should free up Cam to make some more relationships. And, but Leroy and Cam, like, we could just put a bow on their relationship. They gave us nothing and just said, like, we're really good friends. We haven't hooked up since the show, but the door's still open. So boo on them giving us no information.
Right. Yeah. It's probably one of those. I don't know if it's one of those things, like, whenever they're on the challenge, it's just like, they're kind of in a different mindset in their own world. But I mean, they seem, you know, pretty, you know, nonchalant, happy. So that's good. Better than where they were.
I was gonna say, it's definitely better than the last time we saw them discussing their relationship after a challenge, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
No Vegas incident to discuss.
Right.
But yeah, like, I'm worried because it's sort of like Leroy and Cam, if they stay solid friends, whatever, Leroy will always be linked with Bananas. And where does that fit with this collie mm-hmm. dynamic? But it's interesting they have that conversation. Like, Bananas basically was like, yeah, of course, I like give my blessing to Leroy to play the game when I leave. But Bananas admits that, like, when Bananas is there, it's probably bad for Leroy's game. And I feel like we've tracked that sort of season to season, that like when Leroy suffers the loss of a strong ally like Bananas, he scraps together other relationships and ends up probably doing better than if Bananas had stayed.
Right. You know, I think that's true. I mean, if Bananas makes it through the whole game, I think it's good for Leroy. And I think if Bananas leaves really early, it's good for Leroy. The bad part is like the halfway kind of thing, because by the halfway point, everyone's going to see, if Bananas only makes it halfway, everyone's going to see Leroy as so ingrained with Bananas that it's too far into the season, they can't work with him anymore. Bananas leaves early enough, Leroy can, you know, make new alliances, get in with a new group. So I think that's kind of the sweet spot. Bananas either has to go early or he has to go all the way.
Well, that's good with me. Although, you know, I thought some people said that Bananas got too much airtime. What did you think about his allocation of airtime on this, just the reunion?
I mean, it could have been way more, for sure. They could have gone to him, you know, more if they really wanted to make people angry, they could have gone to Bananas more. But I mean, I didn't think he got overly an amount of airtime. I mean, he definitely was chiming in on things that he was not even a part of the season of, absolutely. But I mean, he's Bananas, he's going to be at the reunion.
But because this cast is so green, as Laura put it, like, and we're screaming and carrying on, like, I kind of think Bananas was really, he knows how to produce a TV show. And he, when he was chiming in, I always thought it helped, like, it added to the situation, which I almost never feel with it. But like, it was almost like CT, like, it's like they chimed in to clarify things that were like not being described well, you know? Right. So I don't mind if Bananas is the person on the couch who's going to give the best view of things, then I don't mind getting his view because other people aren't doing as good a job.
Right. It's clear that CT and Bananas are like the elder statesmen of the challenge, because they've obviously been there longer, like, you know, 20 years longer than anyone else. Not really. I'm exaggerating, but
with Laurel and Kara, speaking of 20 years old relationships, I actually thought, not that we got too much new information, but this sort of I don't know. I thought this exchange really clarified things even more for me. Did you have anything that stuck out of this Carl and Laurel sort of discussion?
I definitely agree. I mean, when their friendship fell apart, it was very just like, nope, we're not friends anymore. We're not going to talk about it. Like, someone betrayed someone. It's the end of it. And we didn't really get any more details. This was nice to get some clarity on that, you know, what, 5 years later.
Also some gentle homophobia mixed in, but
yeah, that wasn't great.
But so for anyone who might have skipped the reunion, my takeaway was sort of like, okay, Kara views it as like Laurel was very controlling, believable, mm-hmm. and liked that I was vulnerable and she was able to sort of influence me and control me. And when I built up self-confidence and was doing my own thing, she exited my life. And from Laurel's perspective, she was like, I got exhausted. You were in a toxic relationship, which I believe tracks to Abram. Is that right?
That was my thought. Yes.
Okay. So like, you were in a toxic relationship and I really tried to build up your confidence and to get you to a place where you were out of that relationship. And it was just too exhausting for me. And I exited the relationship. And I see how both sides of that story could be true. Like, Laurel probably did do a lot of work to build up Kara. And then she exited and Kara felt like, once I finally got on my feet, you left. But like, you know, like, it's like that those stories sort of get on the same page.
Yeah.
And Laurel and Kara's basically one remaining outstanding issue that they can't really get together on is like, Laurel belittled Kara and Laurel doesn't feel that she did, but they have no hatred and they like are open to talking. Do you think Kara and Laurel will ever be friends again?
I definitely don't think if they're friends, they're definitely not like the best friends that they were where Laurel was moving to Montana to like live with Kara, basically. I think it's one of those where they could be probably surface friends, have cordial relationship with each other, but I don't think they'll ever be at the place where they once were.
Yeah, I think that's most likely, especially given Kara taking a break and it's like never sure how much challenge Laurel's gonna do. But under the right reality show circumstances, I mean, if Katie and Stassi can repair their friendship on Vanderpump Rules, anything's possible. what I don't think will get repaired is Rogan and Dee.
Oh,
this was sort of the main event of the reunion for me.
This was messy.
So messy. You want to set this up?
Sure. So basically, Dee gets asked, you know, they play the segment of her saying she's in love with Rogan, which I still can't believe she said she was in love with Rogan and like 2 weeks after they met. That's terrifying to me. And, you know, sort of, where are you now? What's going on? And it was revealed, you know, they're not in a good place now. Apparently, after the challenge, all of them were like hanging out or on the island or something. I don't know where they were or what they were doing.
Totally unclear.
But apparently, Dee was hanging out with Georgia a lot because they're girls, apparently. And Rogan doesn't like Georgia. And so he didn't spend time with Dee because Dee was always with Georgia. And that was the first part of it, is that there wasn't a goodbye. You know, you didn't come see me. You didn't spend time with me. And then there's the whole when the show aired and Dee saw what really happened. Plus the Nani issue, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah. So one thing to Rogan's credit, and this is the only thing I'll say to Rogan's credit probably the rest of my podcasting career. But to Rogan's credit, like the way he explained, like she was like, and even you're saying like, it's kind of crazy that she said she loved him. Like, you said you loved me and my teammates are like pressuring me that you're a layup and I probably think you're a layup. And so I'm just like, oh, whatever, let's get her out. You know, like I can see that, like when he says it doesn't sound as disgusting. Like, I still think it's shitty, but I could see that happening. Does that make sense?
It does. And Rogan seems like a guy who wants to avoid conflict and confrontation at all costs, considering he did everything he could to avoid elimination the entire season.
Yep, I think that's super fair, and like wouldn't actually just talk to Dee about it and say like that's gonna happen. But to not say goodbye after hooking up with someone for 8 weeks is like, career. I mean, it's, I think for anyone to not say bye to anyone who is on that season is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And hanging out with someone you don't love is not an excuse for that. That was really lame.
Yeah, it was very strange. And then the whole, you know, they played that clip with Paulie and Rogan talking. And that seemed to really set D off. And for those of you who didn't watch the reunion, which, you know, might be the majority of you, they basically, it was a deleted scene where it was in the fairly beginning of the game and Paulie and Rogan are talking and Paulie's kind of asking Rogan what's going on with D. And Rogan basically says, I'm bored. And Paulie then says, well, if you want to keep her on your side, you have to keep effing her.
Just lad talk. Come on, Megan. It's lad talk.
I know. Oh, God. I mean, Bear just wants to, you know, drink and banter. So, I mean.
So basically the Nani thing is right. And this was news that Rogan pre-slid, like as just as Wes was sliding into DMs to strategize, Rogan, newly single Rogan, had a strategy of sliding into Nani's DMs. Nani was game. Rogan's a good looking guy. Nani's single. They're both newly single. And then he hooked up with D the first night and him and Nani like never spoke again because Nani was like, I'm close with D and I wouldn't want to do anything to her. Like, just watching that must be so mortifying. Even it did, and not like lad talk, like that's okay, but like, you know, people have conversations where they don't mean certain things or they like say things and it, with your friends, like not even gendered. Like I have some things in relationships where if they like aired a conversation with like one of my best girlfriends, it wouldn't like look so great, but nothing had, you know, just like sometimes you get ideas out kind of thing.
Right.
What Paulie said is still disgusting, but I'm just saying from Rogan's perspective, and I liked that D was mad at Paulie. You're supposed to be my friend and this is how you talk about me. Like, that I liked that she got mad at both of them. Rogan here, I could maybe more understand his position of just sort of venting to a guy friend of like, oh, like maybe this isn't the right thing. I like accidentally got into a relationship. But still must absolutely suck after watching yourself get embarrassed on national TV by him and lied to. Now you're watching a deleted scene of him being even worse than you already knew. Like that is just slap the front hand, back hand, like 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that D was still very upset about this, even, you know, however many months after this was filmed. It's clear she was emotional about it. She was crying on stage just because, you know, it does suck when a guy you really have serious feelings for is, you know, nonchalant about you. It does suck.
But I also don't know that when it's like, even though it was months and months ago, like, I don't think she really appreciated it until she watched it on the show. Maybe I'm wrong. And like somebody,
no, I agree.
So, and then, you know, whenever this film, so it's like not that long ago for her to have been watching it. And that's, but I think she handled it pretty well. Paulie, though, excuses this lad talk in the most unbelievable, ridiculous way to say that he was thinking of Dee's feelings. And if he advised Rogan to cut her off, then it would have broken Dee's heart. So instead he said, use her body and mind to win the game. And that was somehow in his twisted brain. Like, you see how manipulative he is. It's so wild.
Yeah, it's just, Paulie just takes that shovel and just keeps digging and digging and digging that hole for himself. Like, and he, I don't even think he realizes he's digging a hole.
I like can't even with Paulie. All right, we're gonna have to go a little bit express through the rest of this because we're about to hit the first hour of our reunion show. Let's hit some of just the highlights quickly.
Sure.
Turbo says, Emma Rose said, what is this action movie that Turbo is shooting in Bulgaria?
So I actually IMDb'd Turbo and
fabulous.
There's nothing, he's got nothing like 2019. He was in a couple things in like 2017, 2016. But I have no clue what this movie is. I tried to Google it. I couldn't find it. So, you know, a TBD movie that Turbo is in filming in a Bulgaria.
See, at first I thought like they then play a sort of action clip of like him talking shit to Bananas and Jordan. So like I was like, wait, could he just not come? Or he wasn't allowed to because he was removed for physical stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, did he choose to not come or was not invited? but this is the action movie in Bulgaria. Like, was that a joke or is he actually filming an action movie in Bulgaria?
I think he's actually filming an action movie in Bulgaria. It looked like he was on set of something. And so I think he was actually filming an action movie and then he just got some people to kind of do a bit with him. I think that's kind of what happened. I could be completely wrong, but I guess we'll find out, you know, in 2020 when the Bulgarian Turbo movie comes out.
Can't wait for that. Mark your calendars. Better attend. Graham Gates says, thoughts on Turbo's message to Jordan and Bananas?
According to Bananas, it was recycled. He had done that in the house.
he's been writing threats on Bananas all through the house, leaving fruit in his wake.
Right. And I mean, I can't tell. I can never tell with Turbo if he is fully serious about these threats or if he is actually making a joke and knows it's a joke.
Well, that I think was really interesting because they're all talking about Turbo before they show this. And Leroy first, like, just stop acting like he's not crazy. We all know he's crazy. But I like that Josh explains sort of like Turbo has a language barrier, you know, because his English is really good. So, like, it's easy. We're obviously seeing the parts on TV where Turbo's like speaking English and you can understand. But there's a lot that I think I was not sensitive to that Josh is pointing out that, like, he was translating for him all the time. Like, Turbo, like, didn't always understand things, understandably so.
Right.
And so a lot of the beef and a lot of the threats and a lot of the fights comes out of he doesn't understand either that what you're saying is not that big of a deal because it would be to him and there's like a disconnect, or he like doesn't know what you're saying and then that causes problems.
Right. No, yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about Bear, the self-admitted slag. Apologies to our British friends. That's what they said. It wasn't bleeped. I don't know if that's like a terrible word, but
yeah, I don't either. But yeah, Bear has a girlfriend 1 month strong, apparently. But that doesn't stop him from trying to get in bed with Georgia the night before the reunion.
Fully. Like, he's lying. He even brings it up because I don't even know that Georgia would have said anything. And you could see his manipulation, too, because he's willing to sort of preempt her to, like, make her look crazy and says Georgia tried to crawl into my bed. And then Georgia comes with the receipts in the form of Nani.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, she's like, I made out with Josh.
I know. And apparently almost more, but Josh was too drunk.
So yeah, Georgia calls Bear out, and I have no doubt that Bear will be able to get out, weasel his way out of that one.
Definitely be together on the next challenge. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. So let's talk about this Josh Georgia relationship.
Right. I mean, if Josh can get it, I mean, you go on. Georgia's a good looking girl. Seems fun. Seems to actually, you know, be into Josh. You know, I think I could see myself getting to the point where I would feel okay about them.
I have flipped to fully shipping them because Georgia deserves a nice guy who's going to appreciate her. And I believe that Josh is that guy.
Josh would worship the ground she walks on. Absolutely.
And at first, like, I wasn't, it was gross on the show. It wasn't coming around on Josh yet. And Georgia was like using him to get back at Bear. So it was like a little yucky on both sides and just Josh being yucky and Georgia actually being yucky. But it seems like they hooked up on the show more than what we saw because she said like, oh, I'd snogged him enough times. Like, and then since she was like on the show and off the show and yeah, we like, we're going to hook up, but he's too drunk. So like, it seems like more actually happened between them and they just kind of made Josh look like super super thirsty when he was just probably regular thirsty.
Right.
So shout out to Josh for getting his sort of like, look, I wasn't that bad, she did like me moment.
Right. And also apparently Josh made out with Kaylee
or tried to kiss Kaylee
or something. You know, Josh, ladies man, who would have thought?
All's fair in war and the challenge.
Right.
I don't know if that's what it is. Whatever. Yes. So we kind of already covered the cult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to say about Kara's cult?
Not really. I mean, the fact that she referred to it as a family when the Manson family, literally the most famous cult of all time, is I mean, was perfect, but you know.
The one thing, and I already knew this, editors in reality television and in general are very talented folks, and you know, they can frankenbite and they can do all these things to make the story flow better, and I'm fine with all of that. Just give me the best story, I don't care.
Right.
The commercial breaks really did show how good editing can be. Like, there were three big moments, at least, that stuck out for me where they did a commercial that showed, like, Banana says to Polly, spoken like a true loser, but they showed it after Leroy was saying something. They made it seem like Jordan was calling Tori a layup, and then Tori said, like, you can't say that.
Right.
And then there was
with the suck it, you know, thing. And then it made it like sound like she was talking to Kara.
So there were a lot. And then Kara at the very end, like raising her hand to say one last thing. And yeah. Shout out to the editors. I didn't buy that at all, that was going to happen. But like, it really shows how seamlessly they can change things. It's rare that you get to see the real version and the fake version.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Anything else? I'm like, Jordan's a jerk. Oh, he had a nice moment with Ninja. I thought
yes,
that was a
did.
Nice
that,
moment.
That was nice.
I believe the apology too. I really do believe Jordan says, I take this like a job. I tell you to work out. You don't want to work out. Fine. Jordan doesn't need to tell people to work out. Like, let's be clear on that. But he seems to really not take any of it personally. And when he saw that Ninja was upset and Tori explained it to him, I think he gave a genuine apology.
Right. And I appreciate that because I, like Ninja, would probably take things that Jordan said to me very personally.
Sure. Sure. And then my thing that they left out, I thought they covered everything fine. Why didn't they talk about how devastating it was to be Tori, Cam, Leroy, and Ashley left behind? Yeah.
That's true. I mean, you make it all the way through the final and then a puzzle kills you. I know.
They don't even give Leroy his due of sort of like Leroy 11 times, you know, like whatever, like where was that moment? I was surprised we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, the only time Leroy really had was in the Cam and Leroy segment. That's the only time he really was, you know, had something to say.
Maybe it was just too upsetting for all of us to watch.
I know. Well, it was.
All right. So let's get to some other segments we have here on the show. So first, I want to thank our 5-star reviewer this week, BNB1210. Thank you so much. If you want to help us finish out the season strong, and thanks to everyone who's been leaving love all season, we really, really appreciate it. You can do so at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And right on schedule, did Chief Party Officer hit us with the drinking game tally for the reunion on Twitter. We had Ashley's money steal. They did not talk about it. Polly and Cara make excuses at 2. WTF outfit, as determined by Kyle, was 2 for Justina's hair and Polly's Professor Plum look.
Agree.
And for talk about, I thought it said Polly gaslighting, and I was like, oh, that's a good one. But it was Polly gassing out with 3. Talk about that. Bananas talks about something not there for, that he was not there for at 2. And someone not on the season mentioned was not done. So thank you, Kyle, for your work there, your quick work on that and all season long. We really appreciate it. And then, Megan, I have something for you. Oh. I understand that you looked at Twitter and were like, nothing really worth mentioning.
Correct.
So I went to Twitter and I agree, but I just thought it would be fun if you read some tweets. So I pulled what I could of the trash. I went through your garbage that you understandably were like, this is garbage. And I am going to make you look at it again.
Okay.
So I just realized I emailed it to myself on not an email that I have your, but I'm going to just type it in and hope that this goes to you and not somebody else. At gmail.com. Okay. Let me know if you get this.
Okay.
Also, I really understood the trouble, like how difficult it is to send screenshots of tweets.
Yes, it can be troublesome. All right, I'm still waiting.
Did it not come?
It did not come through.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, hold man. On. Did I spell your name wrong? Mail delivery. I got a mailer demon. I apparently don't know how to spell a very basic name. Not that your name is basic, but like it's all names I should know how to spell.
No, it's absolutely basic. It's one of the most common names of the late 1980s.
Well, throw me at that. Throw me under the bus. All right, let me pull up Skype. Everyone's really invested in... Not bored at all at this. Sorry, guys. Okay. I'm going to take another stab. Are you SCH?
Yes.
That's the problem. Okay. I think I solved it. Let's try again. Sending, sent. Did you get it?
Let me reload.
Do, 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 do. Come on. I'm getting nervous.
Come on. There we go. Right. Got it.
Fabulous. Whew. Close one.
Okay. So here we go. I'll start. At Tori Deal, what a season. Season spelled S-Z-N. I feel so blessed to have been on it, fight through and grow through it. I can't believe I met the love of my life and got engaged. I can't believe I won 2 eliminations. I'm so proud of Jordan for becoming a triple champ. My heart is so full. Thank you at Challenge MTV.
Did she really only win 2 eliminations? I feel like she won like 10 eliminations.
I know. She must have. She would know.
True.
So this says from October 3rd, but OMG at Paul Calafiore _. Too much swag to be dragged. 3 season and people are upset because I outperform and outsmart their faves. ... Time to embrace the future, people. Be grateful these edits don't show how disrespectful I actually am to your scared faves. I think he probably meant sacred. Don't believe me, just watch. Winky face emoji, the challenge 34.
And then do you want to describe the screen? This was actually a video. This is his pinned tweet if anyone wants to watch this, which I would recommend. But do you want to describe the photo?
The photo is of Paulie on stage, looks like at a karaoke bar or karaoke club, microphone, like singing and dancing to a karaoke song. I can't tell what song it is.
He is singing, so he said don't believe me, just watch. For any Big Brother fans, he's singing Bruno Mars what's that song, Uptown Funk.
Oh yes, mentioned on the challenge trivia game, Bruno Mars.
He loves Bruno Mars. He like famously sang Treasure with Zakiya.
Oh my gosh.
That I think we talked about, which led us to calling her the wrong name because Brian corrected me and I stupidly listened. No, but he's doing a full dance, like his little moves, like he is performing. And it's actually a cool place. It's like karaoke, but there's like a live band behind him. Anyway, so that's his pinned tweet. And then scroll down. There's another one from 3 hours ago.
Oh, yeah. So at Paul Calafiore, that dance on stage been the topic of discussion since last night. So let me F-U-C-K it up one more time for y'all. Winking tongue out emoji, and then it links to a TikTok.
The fact that Paulie's on, you might have to expand your coverage for next season to TikTok,
because I don't even know how to use TikTok. I know it's what the kids are using these days, but
and Paulie
apparently, who is, I don't know how old, he's definitely what, 30 at least.
Yeah, I think his Cody played his brother Cody played
brother Cody
soccer with my ex-boyfriend growing up, so he's probably 28, and so Paulie's older than that.
Okay,
so I'd say 30 maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I guess I could look. I don't know why I needed to like trace that person. I could look right now, he's 31. I don't know why I needed to do that. Said okay. To name drop my connections to the Calafiore brothers.
Another one from Paulie.
Well, wait, I just want to quickly
go ahead.
Describe this TikTok though.
So the TikTok, it looks like he has his shirt off. He's on like a hardwood floor. He has on black shorts and Nikes with like high socks. And he has his arms up like he's doing like one of those, like some sort of I don't know what he's doing exactly.
So he's doing this little. So what he does is he's playing music, like rap music, and he puts his phone down and then he brushes the floor as if to clean it off, like in a dancing motion. And then he does these little kicks, like not a lane, but close, of like his little shuffles that he was sort of doing at the reunion. And that's it. It's like he takes more time setting up the video than he's actually dancing in it.
He needs to learn how to use TikTok appropriately.
So do I guess.
Yeah, apparently we all do.
All right, so now you can move on. Sorry.
Okay. No, it's fine. I only get the shot of the picture. I don't get the full video.
No, I know. Okay. But I liked having you describe the picture and then me telling you what was in the video, but that's the last video.
Okay. So at Paul Calafiore, when you made enemies out of Hack Your Cast, lose the final and know you got to be a good sport for the Bash Fest on stage. Laugh cry emoji, sideways laugh cry emoji, hashtag the challenge 34. And attached to it is a picture of Paulie at the reunion, just smiling in his purple blazer.
Which, like, again, he's like, when you made enemies of your cast, you have to do this. Like, you'd expect this to be some sort of reaction. It's just literally a screenshot of him smiling. Like, it's not.
It's the most unemotional photo ever. It just literally is him, like, smiling.
All right, this one's my favorite one.
This, I enjoy this one too. So at Natalia Negrotti, Natalie, former challenge, former hook above bananas. She said, LOL, if your man ain't taking care of you at Miss Dean Nguyen, I'm single, just saying. And it has a gif of Selena Gomez saying, I'm just saying. And at Miss Dean Nguyen responds, well, hey, boo, hey, I'm out in L.A. in February. Let's link up. Squinty face, tongue out emoji.
Could we stand a couple harder? I don't think so.
I would stand that couple hard.
Not to go out on a sour note, but Paulie did a lot of press. He did like an E.T. Canada interview and he did a People interview. And I watched the E.T. Canada video on like double speed before we got on. And basically a couple interesting things. It's not really interesting at all, but he says like the interviewer sort of suggests like, oh, production like might have a say in like what people look like. And he's like, well, I can't speak to that, but you know, when people tell me I have to be the bad guy, then fine, because like win or lose, I really want to make great TV. And so, you know, if I can take the heat, then people like get to keep their jobs because the show continues and people's careers extend, as though like he's being a villain on television because he's told to be, and he's taking that for other people's jobs. Not that he'll have longevity or money, but that he's protecting all of the people who work for the great show, The Challenge. So everyone should know that.
Yeah, he thinks way more of his role in this all than he actually is.
But final thoughts. I think that's all I officially have. Any final thoughts for the season before we wrap it up here on the wrap up?
No, that's, you know, I hope next season is better.
There we go. Optimism as always. It was great to have you on Twitty P. I really appreciate it. We always appreciate all of the work you do to corral the tweets of the crazies.
Did you want to talk about X on the Beach briefly?
Oh, yes. We're like going pretty long here, but let's quickly talk about X on the Beach. On the peak, I've watched, I think there have been 3 episodes so far.
That sounds right. Great season. I'm really into the season so far. Really liking the commentary that Adore Delano and Lit Demi are giving us. Confessionals killing it. Nicole continues to not realize that her cheating is an issue.
The Nicole and Laurel stuff, it's like, honestly, X on the Beach for me is always like so good to watch and so hard to watch. It's like these people who really have feelings for people they shouldn't be with anymore, like, can relate in my entire life. But and it's like so raw because you're like living with them and they're telling, like, Nicole is like acting like she wants to get back together with Laurel and then hooking up with other people. Like, it's just so it's so good TV wise, but so like dark emotionally.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Jemmy to come in.
Who is Jemmy's ex? Do we know?
I think it's Marlon. I think they had like a thing on maybe New Orleans.
Wait, but he, because he's on Seattle.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
I feel like someone, I feel like, because they say on the MTV website when they do the cast, like whose ex is whose, and I'm pretty sure it was Jemmy is Marlon's ex.
It makes sense because I remember looking at the cast and being like, well, who could I even link to Jemmy? So at least like they share a world.
Right, right. The only other person she would link to would be Nicole or Laurel. And that's, right. You know, that doesn't make sense.
I'm looking now because we need to know this. X. I also love how it's still called X on the Beach, which is like clearly for DVR hits. If you'd like set your record, maybe it's not clearly, I think it would be smart if it was. But so that you're like, if you had set your DVR to record X on the Beach, it would still pick up X on the Beach on the Peak.
Yeah. Right.
What is it even called? It's called X on the Beach.
Peak of Love.
Peak of Love. Okay. I keep calling it X on the Beach on the Peak because X on the Peak works also.
Yeah. That's what I think it, you know, should be called.
But then you can't, like, I know real, like, RuPaul's Drag Race, no one cares about this, but RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is, like, a different series. So, like, if you have, or at least maybe they changed it, but originally if you had a, like, DVR setting to auto-record just every season of RuPaul's Drag Race, it wouldn't pick up All-Stars, okay. Which is extremely annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So here we go. Jemmy from the Real World New Orleans has not one but two exes in the chalet.
Oh.
Her relationship with Nicole may have just been a fling.
What?
But things were with Marlon were serious until she suspected him of cheating and stopped returning his calls. Jemmy was the one to ghost Marlon, but this ghost has unfinished business. Will she be a friendly ghost or will Marlon have to call for an exorcist?
But do we miss that Jemmy and Nicole have a thing?
Okay, I Google Jemmy and Nicole. Takes you right to Reddit. Jemmy and Nicole were a couple. So let's look at this now. Did this happen and why? I don't recall ever seeing them hooking like, up in a challenge.
Is this pre-Nicole and Laurel or post-Nicole and Laurel?
They hooked up on Vendettas, according to someone on Reddit.
That wasn't aired, right?
I'm just trying to skim really quick. Like, did they make out drunk? Like, quick? Like, was it a flirting that we wouldn't really? Because it wasn't. Oh, here right. We go. Someone linked to it of them hooking up on Vendettas. Oh, they're like at a bar making out. Jemmy has wine in her hand.
Oh, so okay. Like, so it's like a UK ex on the beach. I'm here because I had a one night stand with so.
But she apparently dated Marlon. So
yeah, I didn't know that.
Wowzers. Okay, that's exciting. I'm excited for that.
Yes, me too. Other than that, I like Georgia. Apparently the UK just has really good Georgias.
Yeah, so. This is actually the more famous Georgia from Love Island, but I haven't watched that season, so don't tell me.
Okay, I will not. I remember her from Love Island, but yeah, I think she's great. I really liked her conversation with LaDemi when LaDemi basically told her that she's a trans woman, and Georgia like was so surprised because, you know, she, you know, that's the right reaction, you know. Well, that's who you were all along. So
yeah, I thought she was really great. I'm not impressed with her boo thing. What's that guy's name?
Callum,
like hurts her husband. Apparently they're soulmates. There's like a clip of him saying that to her. So kill me. But he's a bad guy. Like, he's nice and he's cute and I get it. But like, he's definitely a cheater.
Yeah, he's like a bear who cheats on like every girl he's in a relationship with.
I think that's enough of a teaser for why people need to be watching X on the Beach. Peak of beach, peak of love. Thank you so much, Twitty P. Thank you again to all of the subs who have accommodated my crazy schedule and Brian's major life event. Hope Brian is enjoying his honeymoon. And we will see you back for next season, the whole gang, with Chief Communications Correspondent Twitty P, with Digital Chief Party Officer Kyle Picard, and Brian and myself. We will see you for season 35 of The Challenge. Happy New Year, everyone, and catch you on the flip.
Thanks, guys.